Mike, welcome back to America.
Nice to be back. I was in America. I was just in South America.
Ah, yes. Good call. You look more tanned.
I was not. It was like 65 and cloudy most of the time. Honestly, we got quite a bit of rain and stuff when we were there in Ecuador. But
maybe it's fun. A reflection off your forehead that I'm getting now.
Not much I can do about that. We're doing this on the fly today. I'm literally at my office. You know, we're a day late already. People are going to be, you know, riding the streets. On the fly was not on Monday. So no.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been a little busy.
Well, you've been in South America doing what? How much can you share? What can you share?
Well, I was leading a group of young adults, early 20-somethings, on a mission trip to Quito, which is the capital city. Quito is a huge city, like 3.2 million people. Like, it's gigantic.
Yeah.
And lots of opportunity there to serve and to be helpful. And just had a great time down there. Worked at a Christian school down there during the day. Did some kind of just stuff that they needed done around the campuses that they have at two different campuses. And so we did some painting and some other, you know, just stuff, playing with kids. And in the afternoons and the evenings, did a lot of home visits with people, you know, one-on-one, talking about how can we pray for them, how can we help them, you know, that kind of thing. It was very rewarding. Great to see these young kids want to serve, and that's part of their heart. And yeah, awesome.
Cool.
Awesome.
That's great.
Great reset. Great personal reset for me too.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about that here in a minute. That's good. Cause you and I have texted back and forth a little bit about the takeaway, right? It's always good to go, not just because you're serving, but also because when you come back, you're like, okay, wait a second. Let me reevaluate some things.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a way of putting that kind of stuff on your heart when you're away and disconnected.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I always tell people, it's like, if you can get overseas anywhere, for the most part, it's probably going to help you realize, like, you should be thankful for so much more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. At the very least. Well, I was this weekend. So my mom's in town for a week and a half, which is great. I love seeing my mom in from Kansas City. So she's spending time with her family. And then it's been crazy rainy here in the Northwest. But Matt was in town and we filmed 3 episodes in 1 weekend. We saw 6 collections in 72 hours.
That's
some incredible stories, man. I can't wait to show some of the stories that we uncovered from people this weekend.
So were you in like Oregon and where else?
We drove across Oregon, saw collections there, Vancouver, Washington, Spokane, Coeur d'Alene.
Wow.
So, we went whoop all the way back kind of up and down. We drove almost 2,000 miles in 3.5 days. So it was just like by the time we got done yesterday, both of our eyes were bloodshot. We're just kind of like stuttering over our words and, it's like, we can't record anymore.
we're spent.
Yeah. And we're done. Yeah. So it was good. It was good.
Well, awesome. So. Those are going to be Chasing Cardboard episodes coming this summer for people.
Yeah. So for people that don't know, that we're spreading them out every 2 weeks throughout the summer. So one just came out yesterday, episode 4, your episode. So an episode where you were on site traveling across Texas comes out in 2 weeks. And then we have multiple episodes throughout the summer. So
yeah,
the comments we always get are like, man, I wish you could put out more content. And it's like, I don't think people realize how much work and money and time goes into producing just one episode. It's just, it's exhausting.
Yeah. We wish we could too. write a letter to your favorite network and tell them to pay for all of it. And we'll just go do that all the time. Right.
Just fund them and give them all creative freedom to do whatever they want. There you go.
Yeah. That's all we want. That's all we want.
That's it. Speaking of creative freedom, Hobbypalooza 3. We're 10 days away?
Can you believe this is the third one?
I know. When you told me it was our third one, I was like, no, this is our second. You're like, you're right. This is our third one. you filled it to the max. We talked a little bit last week about it.
2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago. There'll be a link in the show notes. We'll have a full calendar up probably by Wednesday of this week with everybody and their slots. And it's going to all be on the Bench Clear channel. So you don't have to move around. We're going to be giving away a bunch of prizes, doing raffles. It's just going to be a great weekend as usual. What else do you want to share about the event?
I'm excited. We got a lot of returning faces that you've seen in the previous iterations of Hobbypalooza. We've got a couple of new guys that are new to the Palooza world. And yeah, I mean, it's a community event. It's for everybody. And the feedback we got was, stop making me go around to all these different channels. And not that you won't discover awesome channels, and we hope you do, like by watching these different people, these content creators that are coming onto our network to talk about it. You should go check them out individually, because they have great content on their own, especially if you like them and all that good stuff. So I'm just excited. It's going to be a simple format, but awesome. I mean, we've got names like Jeremy Sports Card Live, Dustin Sports Card Dad. Trying to think. I mean, Breaker Culture, Ty, you know, big names like that.
Real big names.
Yeah, everybody from, you know, Mike O and Papino Man and, you know, all the greatest hits of the YouTube sports card community. So
yeah, well, and the best part, those are just the host, right? And the hosts are bringing on these guests. And to me, when you see the lineup, you're like, okay, this is cool. But wait till you see the guest people are bringing on. It's just going to be an action-packed 30 total hours. Is that where we're at? 30?
24, 25.
25 hours of content for your
all live, right here.
All stinking live.
Yeah.
I can't wait for what's going to happen there. So hopefully we can run that flawlessly.
Sorry, I'm watching the market tank here while I'm at work.
Is it tanking again?
It is now, because we're getting late afternoon, you know.
Oh, gosh. So you and I went back and forth about this yesterday. It's probably a great segue into something maybe we didn't expect to talk about. But the market's obviously, we're in a recession. Like you would agree, right?
Yeah,
I know we're going to backward look at data in 2 months, and it's going to show that we are in a recession right now. You don't want to throw that term around loosely, but
it's not meant to be scary. It's the reality.
Reality.
Like, we are. And
yeah,
the real question, at least for our viewers on this show, is, okay, so what does that mean for sports cards? And a lot of people are talking about this. We've talked about it a ton, you know, and we don't want to beat a dead horse here, but we've been pretty right, I guess, is my point. I'm selling a lot of these things, not because we're some geniuses. We've just been around the block. You know, experience is a wonderful teacher, right? So yeah. My experience has told me that this is going to be a rough time for the sports card market. That's what my experience tells me. But you just told me before the show that you had your best month of eBay sales in 6 months.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the disconnect there? Why do you think that happened?
Well, so I think there's two schools of thought, and you know, it's tough because you see the recession and then you have to go reconcile the fact that Target 24 hours ago put up Prism football boxes, right? And they sold 220,000 boxes in a matter of 5 minutes. You know, like you see the crazy economic conditions and you see that. And you see Mac Jones selling for 100,000. You know, on his one of one. So reconciling all that, I look at my own data and I say, okay, I just had a really good month. I think what I'm trying to figure out is, are we seeing this shift from people saying, all right, I'm taking my money out of the market, taking my money out of crypto. I'll eat losses if I have to, but I'm not going to park it in cash because of inflation. Do I go repark it into something like sports cards? Because the people that are buying my stuff, they're either buying wax or vintage, and a lot of graded vintage, or a lot of graded modern and high grades. Everything in between's kind of just, it's the wild, wild west. You don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
So do you agree with that theory? Is that make a little bit of sense, or is that calm before the storm?
It's weird that people would think rationally that sports cards would be a better choice than owning Microsoft or for their money. Like that makes, absolutely zero sense to me. But it doesn't mean it's not happening. Just because it doesn't make any sense to me doesn't mean it's not happening. I haven't heard anybody say, yeah, I'm doing that, you know, actual examples of that. But the money's coming from somewhere, you know, to buy all these boxes on Target or buy stuff in your store and whatever. If you think about it, what makes more sense to me in terms of a theory is the people that buy sports cards, for the most part, this isn't exclusive, but they're people that are paying their mortgage and they're, you know, they're doing it as a, it's an extra expense in their budget. Yeah. And it's probably already written their budget. Now what's happening is with inflation, their budgets are getting squeezed because more money has to be put in the gas bucket or the food bucket or the whatever bucket.
Right.
Where prices are going up. Home improvements, if you want to do that, those are costing more. You know what I mean? So you wonder how long that can continue. It might be going on now because people think that inflation is transitory. We are learning very quickly, and I believe this, that inflation is here for a while. Like, get used to this. Yeah. And I'm not saying, you know, gas is going to $20 a gallon, but I think we're going to see high gas prices for 6 months, 8 months, a year. Like, it's not going back to $3 anytime soon. And so people are going to have to start making different choices at some point. It just may not be happening yet. Or there might be a grasp on the, like the Prism, for example, like, hey, maybe one last shot to buy some wax that will, that I can flip, that can maybe be worth more on the secondary market than SRP. That's the only things that make sense to me, but the only theories that I would throw out there.
Yeah. So I think on the Prism side, like it's probably not a fair barometer of economic conditions because it's probably just flippers buying, right? What happens is they're going to buy those Prism boxes. They're going to hit the market. And then the real secondary market, us normal guys will be like, hey, look, I ain't paying $75 a blaster. And then the price comes back down. And it's like, okay, there's the real buyer right there. The bots have equalized and they're not making money. I also think there's a lot of truth to maybe just, I mean, look, it's frustrating out there right now. Like the economic conditions, society is frustrating. And I think people gravitate towards sports cards because they enjoy them.
Yeah, it's an escape.
It's a release, right? For them. It's an escape for them. And that type of buyer will never, ever leave. In fact, they might even increase their buying in certain like pieces of the hobby during times like this as a way just to like cope. Like, right. I hate to think of it that way, but like a lot of people do look at sports cards as coping.
That's 100% true. And those, like you just said, that segment of the hobby will never go away.
Yeah.
And I proudly call myself a part of that segment of the hobby. I don't have a reason to go away. And again, I don't like gas prices any more than anyone else, but I'm still not making a whole lot of different decisions based on where gas prices are, food prices are. At some point, could that change? For sure. For all of us at some point, things can change, but it's just fascinating to just observe, sit back and kind of watch what's happening. I've been able to get some super cheap stuff. Like you said, you mentioned higher end, you know, or graded vintage and some other stuff. The stuff in that middle ground that you were talking about, not wax and not graded vintage. I've seen it. I've been able to pick up, you'll love this. I bought a George Brett PSA 9 84 Donruss, for example, for $5.50 the other day on eBay at auction. You know, it was an auction. I wasn't even to buy it now. It was just, and nobody else was bidding on it. And, you know, people are wondering why the market's going down. You know, it's not that, and this may be true of sports cards, there's a parallel to sports cards maybe. It's not that there's tons of people selling. It's just that there's no one on the other end to buy it.
Yeah.
Everybody's going, hold on, let's wait and see how this plays out. At some point, the market will get so cheap that people will have to buy it on those stocks as well as, I think on sport, at some point sports cards are going to get too cheap that even if I saw cards I already have, I'll be like, I can't not buy that. It's too good of a deal. And then just sit on it. and wait.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, 5, 6, 10 years ago during our last kind of economic cycle, I don't think we had as many people that were willing to buy. I think if anything, the last few years, it's rejuvenated a whole entire piece of the hobby that knows that buying sports cards isn't necessarily a bad thing for your long-term, you know, your long-term holdings, like diversifying your assets, especially guys that are parking money right now. 3 years ago, they might not have thought about going and buying Mickey Mantles, and or guys that bought NFTs and they got burned for the last 18 months are like, wait a second, maybe I do need to hold on to my asset in my fingertips. I'll go put it in something that I know I can hold and put in my safe. Like, there's a whole different group of those buyers that are waiting to buy in. So I think the base has just increased for some of that stuff.
Yeah, the NFT market's getting hammered.
Hammered.
I mean, destroyed. Not shocking, by the way. Right. It felt very faddish to begin with, right? And all fads come to a fiery demise. And here we are. Not, other than Gary Vee, maybe, you know, sitting there going, buy your NFTs. I don't know. I don't know what he's saying. I don't watch him, but.
Yeah. I think we're going to have a renaissance of people flooding back to this idea of holding actual assets and working with your hands. I think what we've had this last 5 years is like this get rich quick. I can buy stuff that's kind of out there and you're not really tangible. I don't really understand it. And now people are going to get burned in so many different ways that they're going to have to go back to learning how to work with their hands. They're going to have to go back to learning how to buy physical assets. Great. It's a very big theory, but.
No, that's an interesting point. I like it. We're here to throw out big ideas, make you guys think.
Yeah.
Throw it out there into the ether.
I thought about that because, not because it was some genius idea I had, but I was having a conversation with a guy that we were filming for Chasing Cardboard this weekend. Great collection. Ran a cabinet company for 40 years in the family. And he's like, I've learned that I can work with my hands, work. I can do things people aren't willing to do. And it provides me the income to buy things that other people aren't willing to buy. And I was like, that's such a good point. Like, and it's so, and he referenced like his daughter trying to get into NFTs. And he's like, go work with your hands and earn money to do that first. And then it'll make that purchase like seem like a foolish idea.
Right.
And it's like that whole idea we've thrown out the window the last few years. And it was refreshing.
Now that you say that, my whole idea of found money, right? That concept of found money is so easy to spend. And we're willing to throw it away almost versus money we had to work for and use our hands and our minds to earn wealth. We're a lot more reluctant to just piss that away on some cockamamie idea. Found money is like, oh, why not take a shot at something completely nonsensical, because I have nothing in it. I have no skin in the game, like literally and figuratively, right?
Yeah.
No blood, sweat, and tears into that. So no big deal. If it doesn't work out, who cares? I think all that wealth that was created through that found money idea of stimulus checks, and that's being eroded quickly, right? That's being eaten up in losses that people are having to take on these silly bets that they made.
Yeah.
Whether it's crypto or meme stocks or sports cards, you know, they bought into all the Zion. Well, why not? I'll buy Zion with all this found money.
Yeah.
You know, house money, if you want to think about it that way too. Right.
Yeah.
But now, well,
for sure. Ahead. I think it's a great point.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm referencing a conversation you and I had when I was driving back yesterday. And I got this text from multiple people yesterday. Oh my gosh, my crypto's down 18%. I'm really struggling with where to put my money. Should I put it in sports cards? See, that was a text I got from a really close friend of mine. And it's tough to answer that, right? Because it's like, you can be really specific and probably be really smart. But I called you and I was talking to you about like, okay, do you park it in cash? Like, what's the advice you give? And I'd love to know your thoughts on that so people can hear it. But I guess we'll stop right there. What are your thoughts on that? Do you park it in cash, or if someone called you and said, hey, should I put in Mickey Mantles? How do you respond to that?
Well, I don't want to get into the habit of giving investment advice on this show.
For sure.
And I'm not. So I'm I'm holding cash for things that I know I'm going to need over the next 6 to 12 months, you know, and I'm just going to wait out the rest of it. It's probably the best way to put it. Why do you need to buy anything else with it? But I'm not holding cash just because I'm scared or just because I'm holding cash that I might need.
Yeah.
I don't want to put that in something. There is no quick buck. Like people think, oh, there's a quick.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't make a quick buck, but it's simply not the way I think. I'm not always going, ooh, where can I make double my money in 24 hours?
For sure. I set that up because the point you made yesterday on the phone was a reminder, guys, most of the wealthiest people, their wealth is generated out of recessions,
yes,
out of downturns. This is where opportunities will present themselves that you'll never see again until the next massive downturn. Not saying that's in sports cards. It could be in anything, real estate, you know, land, whatever. But just remind yourself, like, this is setting up opportunity for you if you're smart with your money.
And you need to have dry powder ready to put capital to work, right? So in terms of sports cards, man, I am like going every dollar I can get for the National, getting ready for that, because I think that's going to be an opportunity. By then, you know, we're 6 weeks away from the National, which is crazy to think about, by the way. I'll be leaving 6 weeks from today to go to the National. And I'm just salivating, licking my lips, licking my chops, getting ready to go.
Yeah.
And hopefully find some deals. The funny thing is, if I don't, no big deal. I still have the powder, right? I'm not just going to spend money, but if there are some opportunities to present themselves, I want to be ready to act on that.
Are you trying to sound 20 years younger by using the term powder?
Oh, is that a kid term?
I don't know. It just sounds awesome.
Usually I
keep my powder, man.
The only time I use powder is when I'm having to take the shit, you know, I could use it to take the sheen off this bald skull of mine.
How about that bad boy?
Dude, you told me about that.
That's PSA 5.
So jelly.
Oh, yeah. I just said
jelly too.
Look you at did, me. Yeah.
I was hanging out last week with all these 20 somethings. So it's like sketch and jelly. What are, they use all these, they shorten every word, you know, they all, okay, stop. All right. I stop now.
Okay. So let me show you this real quick. This is not surprising really probably to anybody, but the Mac Jones was pulled. I don't even know what it was pulled out of, but the one of one Mac Jones prism pulled, sold for 100K, flipped for, I think, 160. 2 days later, this guy's already trying to sell it again. A lot of chatter on Twitter that he's just trying to offload because he realized he way overpaid for this thing. He doesn't want to get stuck underneath the bus. Reaction to that? I mean, surprised to see it moving so many hands so fast.
I have one word, idiotic, is all I can think of. Like, that's just.
But dumb. What if he's the next Tom Brady? Come on, man.
Okay.
Think about what you could buy for $160,000 in Tom Brady.
Right.
Go put it in Tom Brady.
Right. Just do that. Don't hope the next Tom Brady is showing up in this card.
Yeah. Yeah. When I saw the flip to flip, I'm thinking, oh boy, that guy got overly excited. There's no way 160 is going to work.
Right.
Yeah.
The guy at 100 is just happy. Well, I guess the guy that sold it at 160 is probably pretty happy. I don't know.
Yeah. I would
like
say
a lot of money to tie up in a maybe.
For sure. For sure. Well, I know prison's been a bloodbath for many, many people. Obviously, you get big hits like that. But the funny thing to me about the sports car world is every release, it's the same exact story. It's like rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. Oh, my gosh, it's overpriced. I bought too much. I didn't get any hits. What the heck? Why doesn't Panini put more hits in here? Why doesn't Panini do this? It's like I got $2 of value in my $25 blaster or my $75 blaster. This is stupid. And then the next product comes out and they do the same thing. The stupidity just kills me.
Well, people, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So that's why I don't
right
have
on cue.
That's why I don't open lights.
Right on cue. Right on cue.
What else do we have to talk about?
Well, let's talk a little bit real quick before we hang up. Bobby Witt's coming on strong. Baseball's great. So how dare you? baseball. How do you feel about the baseball season so far? Because I have my take on kind of where things are, but I want to know, like, you were gone for a week, so I'll give you that.
Yeah.
You staying up? I mean, what, you feeling the vibe?
I love that. I love it when players who were thought to be dead, especially in the hobby.
Yeah.
Like Otani last year, right?
Yeah.
Or what Aaron Judge is doing this year. You know, everybody had written Aaron Judge off for the most part. Yeah. I like seeing, you know, the kind of, I don't like seeing greats of the game struggle like Pujols or Cabrera, you know, those kinds of things. And I follow Cabrera a lot because he's on my fantasy team. So I know he's not hitting great, but the Mets have surprised me with how good they are after, you know, I guess Scherzer's a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm shocked how bad the Phillies are, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked how good the Rangers are. I mean, they're a couple games under 500, which
29-31.
I would have bet a lot of folding money that they would be nowhere close to that after 60 games, you know? So,
yeah.
What are your surprises and takeaways so far?
I'm kind of with you. Like, I love seeing the resurgence of players that people kind of wrote off. Gleyber Torres is a great example of that this year. I mean, a guy that was touted as the number one guy had a one bad year. And all of a sudden he's back. Mookie Betts struggled a little bit last year and just is having a stupid good season, you know? We talked about it last week. You weren't on it. When I had K-Dub on, the craziness of the Angels, of a team of that caliber, just you can't put it together. It actually starting to annoy me because I really do want to see Mike Trout make a playoff run. I think it'd be great for the hobby and for him.
Well, how about Trout as an example of a player who people, oh, well, he hadn't played basically the last two seasons. So he sucked. I mean, he's having an amazing season individually, right?
Yeah.
The Angels are a dumpster fire, but Otani's not playing near. He's on my fantasy team too. He's not playing as he's doing okay, but he's not what he was last year. The Gleyber thing you brought up is interesting because JT, our friend JT,
yep.
He, at the last Dallas show he was at with me,
yeah.
He bought a Gleyber PSA 9 for like $2. Rookie.
Yeah. That's where we're at. I mean, it's probably not much more still, but.
Maybe. Hey, if it's $4, you know.
Yeah, do that a million times a year and you're great.
Right.
Yeah. No, but for sure, you're exactly right. I mean, to your point, I mean, Aaron Judge is leading the league in OPS. Paul Goldschmidt, Jose Ramirez, Yordan Alvarez, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper. The fact that Bryce Harper gets so much like hate still cracks me up. So you'll love this. I'm at a collection buy this weekend and I find two, not just one, but two Bowman Chrome rookie refractors of Bryce Harper. You know, number to 300. Great cards. I mean, really hard to find. And the guy kind of knew like, Bryce Harper was just kind of mediocre still. That's what he, at least that's what his perception was. And so I was able to get a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, man, he's actually not mediocre at all.
Right.
MVP. MVP. Now he's number six in OPS. And he's like ramping right now, batting 318.
And the team,
give me
terrible.
All the Bryce Harpers all day long.
And the team's terrible, right? If he had a good team around him, he could be doing even better. I love. So it was Judge. Who else?
Goldschmidt.
Which is another great story. Arenado's playing great. You know, you have these guys that are, you know, in that 8 to 10 years in the league. Like, that's where you might want to think about buying some cards of these guys, you know?
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I mean, Jose Ramirez gets, I mean, absolutely zero love, probably because he's in Cleveland.
He's raking this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. I was just going to say, you know, I think from a viewership perspective, I haven't been quite as in tune. I listened to almost every Royals game. So there's that. I always do that. But like paying attention to everything else, I would say it's a little bit more toned down for me this year. And I can't quite put my finger on why. Maybe it's all the other distractions. That's probably it. But I didn't know if anyone else was feeling that, almost like it wasn't quite as exciting this year. I don't know. Throwing it out there. Hey.
Yeah. Well, put your comments down. Tell us what you think.
Yeah. Doesn't mean the entertainment value is not as high, because I think it probably is, but and maybe we just need the summer to kick into full gear, sun to be shining for us to be ready to watch only baseball.
Yeah, we'll get through the basketball finals. You know, you got the Warriors won game 5 last night, right? So
yeah.
They might close it out. You know, once that's done, hockey playoffs, not that many people watch the hockey playoffs anymore, but
yeah,
get that done. Only baseball. Well, then you'll be ramping up for football, right? Then we'll have training camps right around the corner.
Yeah. In closing, I'm realizing that I missed a massive opportunity for our episode today.
Yeah.
We should have been representing a sunglasses brand so people don't go blind at this reflection off your forehead.
You can retroactively, like you can go back and edit in some sunglasses. Brought to you by Ray-Ban.
In support of today's episode and the fact that your eyes might hurt. That's how we set up our new sponsorships. We just
need a disclaimer. Do not stare at Mike's forehead. You will go blind during this episode, like at the very beginning.
Oh my gosh, it's too good. I'm glad you and I both have thick skin, because it wouldn't be as fun.
Warning. Mike's forehead is as big as it appears.
Oh my gosh. On that note, have an amazing week. Thanks for watching, guys. We'll talk next week.
See ya.